trees that are huge. And the amazing thing is that you would think that trees this large would have tremendous root systems that go deep, deep into the earth. But the truth of the matter is the root system isn't very deep at all. The way these trees operate is their root system actually are intertwined or interlocked with each other. And so under the ground, if you could see under the ground, you see all of these root systems that are actually intertwined and linked together. And so there's no storm on earth. There's no tsunami. There's nothing that can come in the elements to actually push these trees over because they're interlocked together. If you take down one, you got to take down a whole whack of trees. And that's why these trees have lived and have been around for so long. And I want to look at Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. And he says here, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, this is the Lord, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Another translation actually says oaks of righteousness. We know that an oak tree is a big tree. And so we are to be trees or oaks of righteousness. You know, as people living the Christian walk, we need one thing. We need encouragement to survive the storms of life. All right? We need encouragement. How many here would say, I need encouragement to get through the storms of life? And that's why Paul says it's very important not to forsake the fellowship of the believers, as some have done. He says, don't do that because you need one another. We need encouragement, okay? If you leave a Christian out long enough alone, guess what? They die. If you cut a hand off and leave it on the floor, guess what? It'll die because it's not connected to the body. And so as believers, we need to be connected to a body so that we can grow, okay? Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Let's look at the Word of God together. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Now, Paul is speaking here. He's saying, I want you, church, to realize that it's not about philosophy, but it's about Christ. It's about having a relationship with Christ. And look what he says here. He wanted their hearts to be encouraged, okay? All right, he wants our hearts to be encouraged, being knit together. Remember we talked about the roots of the trees being knit together? Paul is saying, I want your hearts to be encouraged by being knit together. When we're knit together in relationship as the body of Christ, we can encourage one another. But look what it says here, being knit together in love. All right? We need to be knit together in the love of God, right? You know, Ephesians 3:17 says this, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. See, our root system has to go down into what? Into God's judgment? No. Into God's truth? No. Into what? Into the love of God. That word love is actually the agape love or the unconditional love of God. When our roots are firm in the love of God, and then from that love we link together under the ground, we link with the other believers, we're encouraged, and something very, very powerful happens. We begin to understand and grow in the knowledge of Christ. Can't do it alone. See, the roots draw nourishment or life from the soil that causes fruitfulness. Like really, if you look at what is the purpose of a root system, there's two main purposes. Number one is to draw nourishment, to draw the life out of the soil so that it can grow and produce fruit. Number one. The second thing the root system does is it causes the tree to stand strong and weather the storms. Is that right? And so if we're rooted in the love of God, we're rooted in the revelation that, hey, God loves me unconditionally. And we're rooted in that thing. And then on top of that, we're linked together. We're drawing nourishment and we're encouraging one another. We're building one another up. And the storms of life will not be able to blow you over. It's impossible. Why? Because you're linked together. And to take you down, you have to take down all your friends. Does that make sense? When you're going through a trial and you're a lone ranger and you come to church and you're friendly, but you're not friends with anyone. You're just a friendly person, which is okay. But you don't have any friends that you share life with. When you go to the Lord in prayer, when there's an attack, it's just you standing alone. You're rooted there, and it's hard to stand. But when you're standing with a group of people who are praying for you, who are there to encourage you, who are there to strengthen you, the storms of life can't blow you over. You're immovable. You become an oak of righteousness. Isn't that good news? You know, this is real love, 1 John 4:10. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to sacrifice, as a sacrifice to take away our sins. You know, this is the key. All my life growing up in the church, I understood the love of God. I had a little taste of it. And my parents taught me the scripture as a child. My mother was strict, I'll tell you. Don't tell her I said. No, well, she was. She had us memorizing scriptures every day, and I thank God for it, because we had to memorize scriptures and stuff all the time, and she would be, you know, drilling us all the time. And so the Word of God got put in me. So I knew the principles of God. I knew the Word of God. I saw people get healed. I saw miracles. I knew God was real. But something happened to me when I was about 20 years of age, when my mother talked me into going to the Toronto Airport Church, which was the Vineyard at the time. And I walked in, and I experienced the unconditional love of God for the first time in my life, and it was like, I'm home. Suddenly, the principles didn't matter. What mattered was, I know him. And I began to root myself in the fact that God loved me unconditionally, that he's already forgiven me. It's not that I sought him out, as the scripture says, but that God first loved me, and he sought me out, and he sent his son to die. He gave the most valuable thing in all of eternity. He gave his son. That's how precious you are to him. That's unconditional love. And so many of us in the church, it's like we uproot ourselves and we begin to root ourselves in something else. We'll root ourselves in our own identity or our own giftings or, I operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So you root yourself in the power of God, or you root yourself into the principles of God. Oh, I know the truth. Or you root yourself in something else. But God wants you to be established in the love of God. To know that his love for you is unconditional. I want you to say that with me. Say, his love for me is unconditional love. Romans 5:8 says this: but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. What kind of, if we're to be perfect as God is perfect, if we're supposed to live the way he lives, can you love your family members that aren't saved yet, that persecute you, make fun of you? Thank you. Can you love those who have set themselves up as enemies? They don't understand. Can you love them? Can you give that kind of love? It's hard, isn't it? But God did it for us. Colossians 2:2 uses the agape type of love. You know, how many remember the three types of love? I talked about it. There's three. There's the eros love, which is erotic. We don't have to explain that. You guys can figure that out. Phileo love, which is brotherly love. And there's agape love, which is the love of God. It's using that word, the agape love of God. That, you know, that we have to be rooted in God's unconditional love. And when we're rooted in that place, it's so important, and this is why I like to teach in context, because Paul, when he writes to the churches, when he's giving spiritual strategy, it's like a recipe. How many know that when you're doing a recipe, some recipes, you can't just take all the ingredients and throw them together and mix them. It's not going to work. you're going to have, some of you cook and bake, know what I'm talking about. You have all the right ingredients, but if you put them in the wrong order, it gets pretty clumpy. Right? As we go on in the book of Colossians, Paul starts talking about dealing with sin in your life and getting holy and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't first root and ground yourself in the unconditional love of God, if you're not linked together with believers, guess what? The recipe's not going to work. You're going to say, I'm going to do what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to deal with the sin in my life, and I'm going to deal with this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And it's not going to work because you missed the first ingredient, and you did it out of order. You have to first find and establish yourself in, God loves me. He's okay with me. And when you have that revelation, then you can begin to build on it. And it becomes easy. It just becomes like easy street. Walking the faith, changing your life. It's not burdensome because your faith and your love for God has become real. Does that make sense to anyone this morning? Well, Pastor, I think you're reading out of context. You know, this whole rooting together, you're tying it into the trees, and it has nothing to do with gardening. You know, okay, well, let's move down a few verses. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Let's look what it says here. Okay? Rooted, or I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. Let your roots grow down into him. God is what? God is? So let your roots grow down into him, into the God of love, and your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. If I meet a Christian who's not thankful, who's always complaining and murmuring, I say, dude, you got to get rooted in the love of God, man. You just need to have an encounter with God's love. Because when you do, guess what? You begin to be thankful for everything. You wake, oh, God, thank you that there's a hurricane outside. This is wonderful. I get to see you at work. And you just begin to, your heart changes. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You just become thankful because you're rooted in the love of God. And you get to a place where you don't even care if you live or die because you're like Paul. You're so, have such a deep revelation of his love for you. You say silly things like Paul and you say, you know what? If I live, that's great. If I die, that's awesome too because I get to see God. What do you do with a person like that? You're not stuck in time. You see God for who he is. Isn't that awesome? So our roots have to go deep into the love of God. And as our roots go deep into the love of God, our roots will actually connect with the roots of the other fellow trees of righteousness, and we begin to encourage one another in the Lord, and our lives begin to transform. Isn't that good? Should I quit or keep going? Okay, I just want to test the hunger level here. Yeah. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. I wanted to give you the foundation about the love. But now we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. The verses before Colossians 3, verse 12 actually talk about putting off sin, putting off anger, putting things off, okay? And I believe we've all done that, and we should be doing that on a daily basis. But what I want to talk about this morning is I want to talk about character. Okay, so Colossians 3, verse 12. Let's look at it together. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now, see, this is awesome. Because Paul is saying, you are the elect of God, you are holy, and you are beloved. Isn't that what he's saying? Okay. Because God looks at you and he says, you're my holy person, you're loved by me, you're elect, you are awesome. God looks at you that way. Because you're holy, put on tender mercies. And then it says, put on kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And see, it's got to be a mind shift. You guys have to have a shift in the mind. We can't sit there and go, I have to be kind today. I have to be humble today. I have to be meek today because if I'm not, I have to be holy. No, you don't have to be holy. You are holy. And because you're holy, you want to represent God correctly. Does that make sense? And I love God because he uses the word put on. In other words, Paul says, listen, it's your responsibility to get up in the morning and dress yourself. Well, why doesn't God just change me? There's doctrines out there saying, well, God just changes you and then everything's okay. You don't have to do anything. It's all been done. You know what? That's all good. It sounds good. But then you're not a free moral agent. You can't make decisions. That's kind of like, you know, you have to. Can you imagine getting married? And they do this little voodoo spell on you, the spouse, and then it's like all of a sudden you just love and do everything. You become like this robot, right? What kind of life would that be? But God is so awesome in his love that he says, I'm going to let you make a choice every morning what you're going to put on. You know, my daughter, Sarah, she's 4 years old. And every morning she gets up, and she doesn't want daddy to help her dress. Sometimes she lets mom. But she has this thing like, I have to wear a dress today. All the little girls wear dresses, Daddy. I'm like, but it's minus 26. Can we just put a pants on you thing? Oh, I got to wear a dress. She gets all like, okay, fine, you can wear a dress. Let me help you choose a dress. No, I'll choose my own dress. So I'll leave. And she comes out, and I don't know where she finds it, but she comes in with this little mini skirt. And I said, no. Back in the room. You can't, see, if she goes to school that way, she's representing my household. You know, the principal at Christian school, mind you. Why are you wearing a miniskirt? That it has to be below the knees, and you have to have, you know, what do you call them? Tights or whatever. And so I have to help her. No, you can't. So then she doesn't listen, so then mom has to come in and talk her into wearing a longer skirt with tights. You see what I'm saying? So she has to choose what she's going to put on because she's going to go, and she's little yet, but she's going to go and she's going to represent me. And when we get up in the morning, we have to choose, are we going to put on tender mercy? Are we going to put on, and actually the New Living Translation uses instead of put on, says, clothe yourself. And so we wake up and we say, Lord, I choose today to put on tender mercies. You know, I could choose to not show mercy, and I can be angry at this person today that I'm dealing with at work. I can do this, but I choose today, we make a choice to put it on. Amen? Tender mercy. You know, I remember when I was working at this one job, I gave in my notice because it was really far for me to drive, and the boss was upset. And so he held back my 2 weeks of pay. You know, and I had two kids at the time. And I was upset. And I said, Lord, I forgive him. But really in my heart, I was mad. And so I was looking for a new job because I couldn't find a job. I looked everywhere. And I was short my 2 weeks of pay. And I got to a place where I had to forgive him. And I got down with my wife and we said, Lord, I choose to forgive him. I'm going to show him tender mercies. And I ask that you bless him. And I really show tender mercy towards the guy when I could have held a bit of a grudge. And God opened a door where someone knocked on my door and offered me a check for the same amount that was owed and gave me a job. He was a business owner. So you need a job. And so when we put on the character of Jesus, God is able to come and break through. Now, there are times when you put on tender mercy and you choose it, and your reward won't be until eternity. But you got to be okay with that. Sometimes it's now, sometimes it's eternity. But you have to choose. Today, I'm going to put on tender mercy. Today, I'm going to choose to be kind. I mean, I've met Christians that as the scripture says, they're loved of God, they're holy, but they're meaner than a Mack truck. I mean, I've had people like, it's like, are you saved? Like, really? You're so angry, you know? Did you put the right garment on this morning? You know what I'm saying? Just mean. How many know what I'm talking about? Just really mean Christians. And then I've known preachers get up and preach and prophesy, and it's like, God does miracles. I'm like, really, God? You're using that thing? I mean, man, that person's mean. But it's because that person didn't choose to put the right garment on. Does that make any sense? We need to choose to put on humility and meekness. I put those two together because Jesus says if you're going to be a leader in the kingdom of God, Do you remember when he was with the disciples and he got down on his knee and he began to wash Peter's feet, and Peter couldn't believe it. Peter's like, no, Lord, you're the master. I'm the servant. Let me wash your feet. Do you remember that? And Peter said, no. If you're going to, in the kingdom of God, to be a leader, you have to serve one another. Isn't that beautiful? And that's awesome. And so we have to choose to be humble and say, listen, I'm going to put other people's needs on the same level as mine. I'm going to give myself to somebody today. I'm going to be humble and meek with people. The next one is long-suffering. Another word for long-suffering is actually patience. Patience is something that has to be developed in us. And I could do a whole sermon on patience. I'm not going to go there. We have to choose that, Lord, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to trust that in your time, all things will work out for those that love you. I love you, Lord. And go, you have prayer requests before the Lord. You've got things before the Lord. And you have to choose that, Lord, I'm going to be patient and endure whatever I have to endure as I grow in you. Amen? And verse 13, we're almost finished here. So he's saying, I want you guys, right, to put on humility, tender mercies, kindness, meekness, long-suffering. Why? Verse 13 tells us why. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must do. And I'm going to tell you this. If you're a Lone Ranger Christian, you don't need to put on long-suffering. You don't need to put on mercy. You don't need to put on patience, because you can get up and you can watch the TV evangelist on Sunday morning naked for all I care, because you don't have to minister to anybody. But true growth, spiritually naked, I'm not talking about physically naked. Just get your minds back on track here. Spiritual. So anyway, because when you go to church, the thing is you have to learn to minister to one another. Amen? And you don't need to do that. Verse 16, and then we're going to wrap her up here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And I want you to say this, teaching and admonishing one another. I can't tell you, even as a pastor over the last, because I've been a pastor now for 12, 13, 14, 15 years. I got ordained 15 years ago. I can't tell you the time I've been together with a group sitting on the couch or in a cafe talking with one of you or someone else. Sometimes people who just got saved, and they'll say something, and I'll be like, that's the answer to my prayer. I've been asking God, and it's like something came out of their mouth, and it was like, I needed that. How many have had that kind of an experience? Put your hand up. I mean, where you're just with somebody, and they said the right thing, and it didn't have to come from the pastor. It didn't have to come from the Pope. It didn't have to come from the president. It came from an everyday person. And that's why it's important to realize that you're responsible to teach and admonish one another. And the way we do that is we're going to do that through life groups. I know Pastor Jacques and I have been talking about it the last couple of weeks. God has called us to teach and admonish one another. And that's where growth happens. Because you need tender mercy, and you need patience to deal with me. And I need it to deal with you. Amen? Isn't it true? There are times where it's just, okay, we rub each other the wrong way. But as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that is what develops spiritual growth. Isn't that good news? Well, let's stand for a moment. Peter, if you could just come up and play something, that'd be awesome. How many received something today from the Word? Amen. I just want to do a general prayer just before we take communion this morning. you're in this place, you say, you know, we're not going to have an altar time here at the front this morning, but you can have an altar time right in front of your seat with God. And if you're in this place, you say, you know what, I really just need to reconnect my root system in God's love for me, that He loves me so much, that my own love for my children is not even compared to the kind of love God has for me, that He gave me the most precious thing He has, His own Son. And you have somehow pulled your root system out, and you have kind of linked it into some doctrine or linked it into, you know, your own ability. And that's you this morning. I need you to pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I want to be rooted and established in the love of God. It's easy for me to put on the right garment when I'm connected in love with you. Help me to link arms with my brothers and sisters. Help me to put up with them. Help them to put up with me. And help us to grow together so the world would know that we know you. In Jesus' name. God is good. You say, how do you put on the garments? You know, the priestly garments in the Old Testament, actually the garment that Jesus wore was woven without seams. And it only had a little head opening and arms. Very expensive garment to make, by the way. The priests had the same garment. It's called the ephod. And the only way to put that on, you couldn't put it on yourself and buckle it down. You had to lift your hands in praise and worship. And it came down from above. The garment had to come from above. It couldn't come from this realm. It had to come from above, and you had to lift your hands to bring it in. And I want to say that because every morning, if you take time to say, Lord, I worship you, I give you praise, and I need you to put this garment on me, because the Holy Spirit's our helper. Help me to be kind today. Help me to be humble. And you make a choice, and the helper, the Holy Spirit, comes and does it. But we get to choose which one we want to put on. Isn't that love? We get to choose. That's the love of God. Amen? God is so good. If we're going to have the ushers just grab the communion elements, we're going to start to pass those out. You want to lead us in a worship song there, Peter? Do you guys have a worship song? We'll worship together while the ushers are getting the stuff ready.
All of your ways,
all your ways.
His blood was poured out for us.
Yeah, exactly. Literally. Just maybe bring one. That's fine. Bring that over here. The night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it. He said, "When you eat this, do this in remembrance of me, my body that was broken for you." And then after supper, he took the new cup, which is the symbol of his blood, and said, "Drink this in remembrance of me." Amen. The blood that was shed for our sins. And what I want to do as you guys continue to worship, we'll do communion together. But what I want to do is I want you to link with your family in a circle and pull two families together, you and another family. And I want you to take some time to take the bread together, say a prayer for one another. And because you know what? Communion is about communion. It's about fellowship with God and with one another. Amen. So begin to link up with a group there. And you can move out in the front or in the back, wherever you have to move to get yourself some space. And take about 5 minutes to pray for one another and then take communion together.